Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church as we gather today for worship. There are a number of announcements regarding upcoming activities that have been on our whiteboard, but there are a few that I would like to make sure that are highlighted at this time. One of them I don't believe to be on the whiteboard is that this Wednesday, with weather permitting, our congregation is looking to do the roadside ditch cleanup at 9 a.m. this Wednesday. So if you have the availability, come at 9 o'clock and see, what sort of groups we can get and how we might be able to succeed in helping keep our community and our roadsides cleaner. At the end of the week, Saturday, we have our peaceful gathering. So I invite you to come and join the peaceful gathering. The meal is at 5:30. You are certainly invited, and you are encouraged to bring family and friends and enjoy the meal together. We do also this week on Friday have a funeral service for one of our members, Beth Lindgren. The funeral service will be at 11 a.m. and prior to that there will be a visitation beginning at 10 a.m. Take a look at the newsletter for what is left in September here, and soon we'll have the October one out to you, for there are many wonderful activities that are coming up where you can join together with your fellow Christians to be growing in your faith and encouraging one another in daily life. We follow the order of Matins this morning, which is found on page 219, and I invite you to stand as we begin.
O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
O come, let us sing
to the Lord. Let us hear God's voice and loud the nation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us sing
up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restore me to life from among those who are down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints.
And give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment.
And his favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for the night. As for me, I said in my prosperity,
I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong.
You made my face, I was ashamed.
To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy.
What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit?
Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness.
That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
I invite the congregation to please be seated as we continue and sing hymn 868.
Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. O Lord, have mercy on us." Thanks be to God. And the gradual, "Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory." The epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. "So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of our Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
I invite the congregation to be seated, and those children that are present are invited to come forward for a children's message. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. I'm glad that you are here today. We heard from the Apostle Paul in his letter to Ephesians that he looks to God, and that he says that God is the one who's able to strengthen you through the Holy Spirit, and that he lives and dwells in you. Have you ever found that there are times when you're just not strong enough? Have any of you found that you're not maybe strong enough? Maybe there's something that needs to get moved and it's maybe a little too big for you? Has that ever occurred? Or maybe, how many of you have ever had a jar of maybe pickles or something and you can't get the lid off? Has that ever happened? Well, for some of you, okay, and some of you not. There are times where we find in life that we aren't strong enough. Whether it's you at your age or even me as an adult or the other members here, there's times where we know that we're not strong enough. And we are especially not strong enough to overcome sin. Is sin kind of tricky in our lives? Sin keeps coming at us each and every day, and is it something that are you just able to resist and say, you know what, I'm not going to sin at all today? Have any of you tried that? How's it worked out? For the moms and dads and our brothers and sisters in Christ, should we ask them that question too? How many of you have ever tried to say, I'm not going to sin today? And how many of you have seen that successfully happen? Nobody's raising their hands. You know, that's one of those things where, you know, they talk about having willpower and being strong in your mind to overcome things. But, you know, we know that sin is something that we are not going to defeat by our strength. Not our strength alone. But we have been sent a Savior by God, who is Jesus. And Paul, he encourages the Ephesians. He encourages you and me, and that we are filled with God's Spirit. So he is going to grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in you to love and to try to help say no to those sins in your lives. And how powerful is God, the God who is helping strengthen you? How powerful is God? Is he stronger than your dad's? Yeah. Is he stronger than the strongest person you know? Yeah. God is the one who is with power that has no limits. He can do all things, even more than you and I can even ask. And so he is able to grant it to you and to me through the Holy Spirit, power to help us resist temptations. On our own, well, we don't have that sort of strength and power, but with God, with his Holy Spirit, you can help be helped each and every day. So is it important to look to God for your strength and power? Yeah. This is something that, you know, you maybe you've seen people, they lift weights in order to get stronger. Well, that's not how we get stronger. We get stronger by looking to God today, tomorrow, the day after that, the day after that, each and every day as we look to God, as we rely on him. That is how we continue to be strengthened for life. So let's fold our hands and say an echo prayer. We pray, Dear Heavenly Father,
Dear Heavenly Father,
you are the strongest that we know.
You are the strongest that we know.
For you have created us by your word.
For you have created us by your word.
And we ask that you continue to bless us.
And we ask that you continue to bless us
through your Holy Spirit.
Through your Holy Spirit.
To help strengthen us.
To help strengthen us
as we seek to resist sin,
as we seek to resist sin.
Help us look to our Savior Jesus.
Help us look to our Savior Jesus
and proclaim his victory,
and proclaim his victory
over sin and death,
over sin and death.
We pray in Jesus' name.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much for coming forward, boys and girls. And I do have some treats once again for you to take with you to your seats. And our congregation will continue by singing hymn 697. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon is based upon our text from Luke chapter 7. Earlier in the day, it may be common, or you may recall having heard something like this. Time to get up. Any of you recall that? Or, get out of bed. Oh, yes. That is a call that is commonly heard in households, that parents are encouraging children, or maybe even a spouse to one another. Well, it's time for us to get up. And with that call, activities begin. children and teens get up, as long as they're obeying our fourth commandment. And the day, once more, is filled with the busyness of life. Yes, time to get up. But occasionally, the call to get up is issued. There is no response. And it's not that there's just deep sleep from a late night out with family and friends, but rather, it's because death has come. None of us knows that day nor the hour when death will come for us. And yet we are quite certain that it is coming. For there are no guarantees as to when it will strike down you or me, when it will strike our families, nor how frequently. We certainly try to live our lives and do what we can to have a body that is healthy, and yet we know that at any given time, death can come. Luke records the account of Jesus coming to the town of Nain, and there he encounters a family in the midst of mourning the death, and death of more than one within the family. We hear, "Behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her." A man is being carried out, as was the custom, and along with him, as you and I have experienced, family and friends are in that mourning party. The family, including his mother, who is now not only a widow, but also without her only son. Time to get up, get out of bed. That call won't be helpful this day, at least not from this mother's lips, not from your lips or mine when we encounter that situation in our lives. But when you and I come across those that are mourning, when the mourning enters into our families, there is nothing that we can do but join in the mourning. Yes, we are called to rejoice with those who rejoice, by Paul, but yet at the same time he follows that by weep with those who weep. And here we see Jesus joining his crowd to those that are from the city and their mourning. Paul also tells about his own life, how he speaks to the Corinthians, how God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. They knew the mourning, they knew the longing, and they knew the need for comfort. You and I have those same needs, especially as we mourn in the very midst of death within the members of our family and our friends. A simple time to get up, that is not the answer. And yet Luke records this account not because Jesus is there to enter into that mourning, but to show just what God's plans for you and for me and all the world who mourns because of sin and death will be able to look forward to. Jesus, it says, he sees the mother who is now both widow and sonless, and he has compassion on her, and he says, do not weep. You can certainly imagine that she would be weeping with the loss of her son. And yet Jesus, rather than weeping with her, he calls her not to weep any longer. Why should she not weep? What reason is there for her weeping to be turned to anything but sorrow? And Jesus, through his actions and words, gives to her that very reason. He comes up, he touches the bier, the bearers stand still, and Jesus says, young man, I say to you, arise. Well, I haven't tried it because it's so unimaginable. Going to a funeral visitation, approaching the casket, touching it and saying to that individual who's lying in there, arise. It's not going to work. Not for me, not for you. But you and I, we are not Jesus, the God man himself. The one who, by his very words, spoke creation into being. No, you and I are not he. Our response shouldn't be to try to go there and say, arise, wake up. No, that is for God alone. And we see Jesus speak these words, and they do what your and my speaking would not cause to happen. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. Seriously? The man who's dead, he hears Jesus' words. And he responds to them. And he begins to speak. I know that's not going to happen if I did that. Certainly this is of God. And those that were with Jesus, those that were with this man from the town of Nain, we hear how they respond. It says, fear seized them and all. They glorified God, and they say, a great prophet has arisen among us. A great prophet, like we heard in the Old Testament story, raising the son of the Shunammite woman who he was staying with. Yes, indeed. It seems that a great prophet has arisen among us. But then there's the next phrase that is spoken. God has visited his people. God has visited his people through this Jesus of Nazareth. We see God at work. And yet that phrase is correct in an even greater meaning. God has visited his people. God became incarnate in Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. He entered into his creation as a man so that he might be able to do what you and I are unable to do, to put an end to sin, to raise us from the dead. He does that not just by speaking words and saying, arise, but rather his words, arise, are spoken to you as his arms are extended upon the cross, as his blood is shed, as he gives up his life for you. In that, Jesus pays and redeems you of all of your sins. And the death that we know so well, he overcomes and defeats. And in it, and in this action, he replaces death with life in his name. As you today come, you are able to hear the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was crucified, died, and buried, and he himself risen from the dead. The first fruits of those who arise from the dead. The death that you and I see that seems so beyond the ability to be overcome, he already has defeated. And that victory he gives to those who believe in him, the power in his name. Yes, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today assures you that you are able to have that same victory, that you will hear him speak to you even after you have died. Arise, and you will be able to sit up and speak once more, giving praise and glory to your Creator, Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who sustains you in all things. We know, yes, that there is a day coming when most of us will have to die. And yet we are assured that there is also a day to come when Jesus will speak, and you, even having died, will hear his voice and will respond to what he says to you when he calls to you, arise. For you have been redeemed by Jesus, and he has given to you life everlasting. Be filled with joy in this. Be filled with the joy that Jesus speaks words of life to you today in his Bible, in the sacraments, but also be filled with joy that does not end, for this promise is true. We have opportunities to mourn with those who mourn. For yes, we are saddened when death separates us from those that we love, those brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, we are able to comfort each other with a certain hope that Jesus, He is coming. He will raise those who have died to new life. He will say to you and to me, arise, and we will live forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And having heard this good word of our Lord, we stand with joy, we sing our Te Deum. We praise you, O God, we acknowledge you to be Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
That your grace may always go before and follow after us, that we may continually be given to all good works through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, Father of all, we bow before you in all confidence and beg you, strengthen us by your Spirit, ground us in your love, and fill up what we lack out of your own abundance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. O great physician, lend your own power to the works of mercy done in the name of your Son, that they may increase faith in the words your servant speaks. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful Father, when loss and heartache invade our homes and tempt us to doubt your divine care, hear our cries and renew our faith and life in you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life and death, you have given all things into the hands of your Son. Inspire those who bear the sword in his stead to do so in faithfulness and love for their fellow man. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you lead us as St. Paul before us through many tribulations to know the fullness of your strength. Strengthen Rick, Shirley, Glenn, Wayne, Linda, Tracy, Vic, and Colleen, and all who suffer, that they may praise you for your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, your saints in heaven now know as they are known and comprehend the fullness of your love in Christ. Conduct our ways through this fallen world to join them in your heavenly presence. We specially pray this for the family and friends of Beth Lindgren. Lord, in your mercy. These things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all of our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I invite you to be seated as we sing our concluding hymn, 758.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church consider it a privilege to have you share in their service of worship. We invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. right here on 98.3 FM WCQM. We invite you to tune in again next week at this time. If you wish to sponsor a broadcast in memory of a loved one, please call the church at 715-762-4541. A condensed version of the worship service may be found on the church website at peacetoyou.pctcnet.net. That's peace, the number 2, YOU.pctcnet.net. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you would like to give an offering to God for his ministry, you may do so on our website or Facebook page, or mail it to Peace Lutheran Church, 598 2nd Avenue North, Park Falls, Wisconsin, 54552.
Introducing...
This is Eric Church.
The notes and the words and the songs I sing to the ones doing life.
Station is great. I love you guys.
98Q Country.
I want a tracker boat on a big blue lake and a brand new truck in my driveway. A lot of ticket worth a million bucks and a bigger one on the wall. I want my boys, my team to win. Waiting on the radio again. I want more.
Chris Jansen, All I Need Is You. So we will talk about The Golden Bachelor, the new ABC television show based on The Bachelor. Riley Green, Luke Combs, Jake Owen, Justin Moore, they're all on the way right here for you. Here's Justin.
I was a cold beer drinker down at Joe's Place, a corner pocket slinker at a pedal down pace. Another man's early was my getting home late, fast as a whiskey.